and This Is Your Life. And tonight on This Is Your Life, a man with what must be the most diabolical occupation in the world. A man whose mindlessly soul-destroying job would probably cost most people their sanity. But more about me later. Our subject tonight is a very well-known Radio 4 comedy show, which is about to start any second now, so we haven't got a lot of time. I'm now going to disguise myself as a joke. There, that didn't take long. And now, I'll just slip back onto page 3 of the script, and we'll see what happens.
This is Radio 4. And now, news of some programs coming to you later today. In a few moments, we present the humorous wireless program, The Berkey's Way to Dynamic Living.
Then at 6:45 tonight, there's another chance to hear what's going on in Ambitious and Present Answers. That's followed at 7 o'clock, I believe.
All right, Squire. What's your game then, Squire? Don't you know the speed limit for continuity announcers on Radio 4, Squire? 30 words an hour, Squire. I think you'd better announce into this bag. Hey, Squire.
What do you mean? I was perfectly legal.
Just announce into the bag, Squire. Say something about one of your Radio 4 programs.
Look, this is pathetic.
That'll do nicely. Now then, may I see your papers?
Well, that's a bit awkward, actually, I'm afraid, because I haven't got all my personal papers and diaries and things at the moment. My husband said he wanted to borrow them all.
Borrow them all? What for?
Well, he didn't say. But he did stress that it wasn't to lend them to the research consultants on the This Is Your Life program.
Strange. Exactly the same thing happened to me.
Really?
Yeah. My husband did exactly the same thing. Well, be that as it may, Squire, I've got to have a look at your papers.
Why?
Well, mine weren't delivered this morning.
Hang on. There was something funny about that joke.
No, I don't think so, Squire.
No, I mean, it wasn't a real joke at all, but it was...
Stop! What? All right, hold it there.
The next line is now appearing on the cutting room floor at Broadcasting House.
Well, you thought you were both coming here tonight to do a rather zany routine about radio announcers getting arrested for speeding. But instead, we've got bags more thrills, pills, and surprises for you all, because tonight, the Berkey's Way to Dynamic Living, This Is Your Life.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cut to the studio quick, for heaven's sake. They all have their injections now, only I don't want to be... Oh, right.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and tonight, This Is Your Life, The Berkey's Way. Now, the story of The Berkey's Way is one which begins in a little maternity ward in Stepney nearly 12 months ago.
George.
Yes, dear?
George, I feel like an enormous apple dumpling with a couple of... with a couple of Brussels sprouts on top.
Yes, I dare say. But you'll get your figure back eventually, dear.
Oh, isn't it marvellous, darling?
Wonderful.
Here we are, expecting our very first radio programme.
Yes.
Our very own little Tony Blackburn show.
Oh, now, dear, you never know. It might be a boy.
George?
Yes?
I think it's coming on.
Oh, good Lord.
Nurse!
All right, Miss
Mr. Smoth, I think you'd better wait outside.
Right you are, miss. Oh, my.
Oh, yes. Congratulations, sir. It's a Radio 4 comedy.
Oh, oh, fantastic.
Gaga, gaga, goo goo, gurgle, gurgle, goo goo, ga. Gaga, goo goo, gurgle, gurgle, Job Campbell, Nigel Reese, Chris Emmett, and Fred Harris. Gurgle, goo ga, goo ga, goo gurgle, gurgle, goo ga, goo ga. Lesson 17, gurgle, gurgle, goo ga, the Becky's Way.
And so the Birkus Way was born. But our story doesn't end there. Do you remember this laugh? Yes, it was the very first laugh you ever got, way back on show 11. Yes, that's right. Come in, the laugh to the joke about Richard Burton's pet newt. Well, I'm sure that brought back many memories. But now we're going to bring back a few more, because I wonder if you recall this line.
What a shame you went and cracked it before you'd finished.
Yes, it was, of course, the 29th line in this train sketch.
Excuse me, do you mind if I sit here?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
If you don't want me to, just say so.
No, it's quite all right.
It's up to you.
No, really.
Well, I mean, some people can find me a little irritating.
Will you shut up and sit down?
See?
I'm sorry, sorry. It's just that I'm trying to finish this murder story.
Oh, sorry. I'll sit down, shall I?
Yes.
But you just ignore me and go on reading.
Right.
I won't say a thing.
Good.
I shall be silent. As silent as the dusk dawning over the southernmost slopes of ancient Thebes. When languid cows ate grasses on the slippy banks of the liquid warm stream, and the wizened old washerwomen watched their floors drying off in the crimson shades of the afternoon sun, while nearby the milk-white water nymphs from the beach got tanned in the city's equatorial warmth and the golden glow. Oh, sorry. Inadvertently, I made the mistake of describing my forthcoming silence in a rather over-verbal fashion, thereby inhibiting your enjoyment.
My book, yes.
Well, I mean, if I keep talking, you'll never be able to work out that it was Lord Thrimston that did it. Oh, don't tell me. You've guessed already. Oh, what a shame you went and cracked it before you'd finished.
Oh.
I'm not irritating you, am I?
No.
Oh, good. I am glad. Excuse me while I get my case down, then. I'd just like to catch up on my work, if I may.
What is your work?
Oh, I'm an earplug tester.
A what?
Pardon? You'll excuse me, I'll just put...
Hold on. What are you switching that tape recorder on for?
Yes. That one seems all right. Yes. You would tell me if I started irritating you, wouldn't you? I mean, you would speak up.
Yes. Yes, all right. I think you're irritating me. You're annoying, stupid, annoying, nasty, irritating little man, and I can't stand you any longer.
You're just saying that.
Get out of here!
Oh, so it's like that. that is it. Well, I know your sort. Right, I'm off. I'm going. And I'll tell you one thing.
Bob!
I hope they catch you flushing this lavatory when we're in the station. Goodbye.
Well, you haven't seen some of those jokes now for some 56 years. But here to talk about them is one of the two men from that very sketch. Come in, please. The man who was trying to read his book, Alfred Perkins of Hackney. Well, there was quite a story attached to that sketch, I believe, Mr. Perkins.
Yes, it was rather humorous, really, because the man who was annoying me had terrible trouble with spoonerisms. Like, he always said things like, me's to pleat you, and let me dry you a bink, and so forth.
Well, thank you very much, Alfred Perkins of Hackney.
And he had terrible trouble with that speech about the dusk dawning over ancient Thebes.
Well, thank you very much, Alfred Perkins of Hackney.
Like, instead of saying the water nymphs from the beach got tanned in the cities, he said the water nymphs from the beach got sand in the...
Well, thank you very much, Alfred Perkins of Hackney.
And instead of saying the washerwomen watched their floors drying off, he said the washerwomen watched their drawers.
Well, thank you very much, Alfred Perkins of Hackney.
And then, when he should have said the cows ate grasses, he said the cows grazed.
Well, thank you very much. Get him up. But worse was to come. And there's one man who still remembers those days very vividly.
Well, here we are at Shepperton Film Studios, where we're very, very honored that a new world-famous glittering show business star has taken time off from his work to talk to us. Good evening to you.
Pardon?
Well, yes. Is it any wonder that he's a legend in his own lifetime? Now, of course, you're heavily made up for one of your parts, so let's tell all the viewers who you are, shall we?
Eric Powell of Croydon.
Yes. Well, Mr. Croydon, I expect many people were fooled by the hunchback, the eye in the forehead.
Yeah,
and so on.
Yeah, they've covered him up quite well, haven't they?
You've been in films for many years now, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Before the talkies arrived, I used to dub all the silences on, you see. I had to sit in front of a microphone all day, keeping absolutely quiet.
But this is your best role yet, isn't it? This film about 19th century Paris?
Yeah. They've got a special device they use to make me look short, like that bloke Toulouse-Lautrec.
I see, yes. This device, what is it, trick photography?
No, a saw.
Yes, isn't he a panic? Yes. Well, you've obviously done very well, Mr. Croydon.
Yeah. The critics say I'm like a breath of fresh air in the film world.
A breath of fresh air?
Yeah, I get up everybody's nose.
Yeah. Oh, stop it. The pain's too great. Now, Mr. Croydon, tell us, what was it like working on the Birkus Way?
They were the happiest days of my life.
Really?
No, not really. Mind you, they always treated me like a king.
Like a king?
Yeah, they kept burying me in Westminster Abbey. I got that off a gangcracker's ball, you know.
Well, thank you, Mr. Croydon, and now we'll let you get back to your shooting.
Thank you very much, sir. Thanks. All right, boys, take it away.
There will now be a short intermission.
Drink, darling?
Yes, please, darling. I'll have one of those. another drink, please.
Cigarette, darling.
Yes, people like you are drinking Mets.
But it didn't end there. As you probably remember, that was the first time you ever had an intermission. And 9 months later, you were rushed to hospital for this catch.
Right now, this won't hurt a bit, Mr. Sprague. And I don't mind saying that's one of the toughest ingrowing toenails I've ever come across. Next!
Mr. Norman Jobes, Doctor.
Ah, yes. Good morning. And how are you today, Mr. Jobes?
Fine, thank you.
Good. just keep the tablets. Next!
Afternoon, Doctor.
Ah, good evening. What can I do for you?
Well, I've been getting these earaches, Doctor.
Earaches, I see. Whereabouts?
I beg your pardon, Doctor.
Whereabouts? In what part of your body do you get these earaches?
Well, in my ears.
I'm sorry, no what?
My ears, Doctor. My ears.
Yeah. Sorry, what did you call them?
Ears. Not my ears.
Your ears?
No, ears. E-A-R-S. Ears. Ears.
Ears?
Yes.
Good Lord.
Well,
25 years as a medical practitioner, and I've never come across that one before. Well, funny how you miss out on things, isn't it? Hang on, I'd better note that down before I forget it. Ears. Place where you get earache.
Look, wait a minute, never mind that. What are you going to do to relieve my pain, then?
Well, I think that under the circumstances, we'd better send you along to a lobster specialist.
A lobster specialist?
Yes, our best thing, I think.
What for?
Well, he'll know much more about lobsters than me, you see. What he's been trained to specialize in.
Yeah, but look, I haven't got any lobsters.
No, not any. You had them removed at birth, did you?
I've never had any lobsters.
Yeah. No lobsters. Well, I mean, don't worry about it. Lots of men have learnt to live virtually an ordinary life with just one lobster. Or as in your case with none at all.
No, look here. Wait a minute. I've had enough of this. This has got to stop.
In that case, I'd better send you along to Dr. Hawkins, a female colleague of mine.
Oh, yeah. Well, who's she?
Well, she's what's called a punchline specialist.
Eh?
Just through here. Phew, that was a close one. Now I can get back to my rounds of the wards. Mrs. Hackingbottom. And how are we today?
Oh, I'm still getting these dizzy spells, Doctor.
Dizzy spells, I see, yes. Have you been giving her anything to make her sleep, sister?
Yes, we play her a recording of Sale of the Century at about 8:30.
But she's still not responding. Well, Mrs. Hackingbottom, I think we'd better have the old head off, don't you?
Sorry, Doctor.
Have the old head off. We'll just whip it off for you. Better to be safe than sorry.
Oh, very good, Doctor. If you're sure, it's no trouble.
No trouble at all, Mrs. Hackingbottom. We'll have you as right as a corpse in no time.
Oh, I think you doctors are wonderful.
Only doing our job, Mrs. H. So make a note of that, would you, sister? Book the theatre at 3 p.m. tomorrow for a headectomy.
Very good, Doctor. Oh, while I think of it, Mrs. Hackingbottom, there are some visitors outside for you.
Visitors? For me? Oh, how lovely.
Yes, hold on. I'll just show them in. And here they are, your visitors, Arthur Askey, Ted Ray, Cyril Fletcher, who hatched up the whole idea, Professor Jimmy Edwards. And Mrs. Hackenbottom's question is, did you bring her any grapes? Well, panel?
Well, playmates, I knew a woman once who rushed into the police station shouting, grape, grape. And the sergeant said, surely you mean rape? And she said, no, there was a bunch of them.
Well, thank you, Ted.
Now, Cyril, excuse me, but what is all this? You're making me feel worse.
Making her feel worse. Well, panel?
This is the tale of a poor old dear who came to hospital feeling queer. So ugly was she that, to boot, her face looked like a bowl of fruit. Soon she felt a great deal worse when hearing this appalling verse. The team's behaviour she abhorred, but all her pleas they just ignored. Till finally Mrs. Hackenbottom picked up a gun and with it...
Ah! But it didn't end there. Because it was just 2 weeks later that your closing signature tune emigrated to Australia. And you thought you'd never see it again. Well, at great expense, we've flown that closing signature tune 2,000 miles from New South Wales to be here tonight. And here it is.
Well, cookers, that's about topped you lot for another week, eh? Sorry about that, sports, but that's the way the kookaburra crumbles. And if you'd like to taste some kookaburra crumbles, just sling 5,000 radies now to Joe Kendall, Nigel Rees, Chris Emmett and Fred Harris, and we'll bung you the recipe quicker than you can switch off a Rolf Harris show. Yes, laugh at the cabbage now with the chuckle literature of Andrew Marshall and David Renwick, or you'll end up with a whack over the diddle-o from producer Simon Brett of Sydney. We'll be with you for another giggle gig next week, but until then, from all of us dingoes at the intensive Foster's Court, happy dynamic living.
The Burkis Way. And now on Radio 4, it's time for programs for children. And this week we present number 42 in our series of comic book tracks, The Legion of Superheroes.
The year, 2077. The place, the planet Krypton in the star system of Xanagar. The sketch, this one.
I call this meeting of the Legion of Superheroes to order. Invisible Kid. Oh, Invisible Kid, how are the applications for membership progressing?
Well, Invulnerable Boy, we've had several people, but none were very suitable for the Legion of Superheroes. First, there was Transvestite Lad. Has the ability to dress up in women's clothes at will. Captain Horlicks can make hot malted milk bedtime drinks at will. Commander Lemon can change into a lemon at will. And Archive Lad can obtain obscure back numbers of the Exchange and Mart at will. None of which would really be a potent deterrent in the event of an unexpected invasion of the galaxy. Unless, of course, the invasion was from a kinky reader of the Exchange and Mart suffering from night starvation and citrus fruit phobias.
Well, it has been known. Show in the final applicant. Oh. You wish to join the Legion of Superheroes?
Yes, please, yes.
And what is your superpower?
Well, I have the power, completely without any form of energy, to stand up.
Stand up, yes?
Yes, at will.
What, just stand up?
Yes, I realize it. Quite unbelievable. Would you like me to demonstrate?
Oh, please.
Right. Hand me that chair. Now,
Yes. You certainly seem to have a power there, but how can we put it? It's not really very super, is it?
I can do it quite quickly.
Speed of itself isn't sufficient additive to take standing up into the incredible class. To be frank, it's a bit on the bloody pathetic side.
Oh, well, luckily I do have other powers.
Oh?
Yes, I can travel about from place to place.
What? At will?
Oh, yes, yes.
Ah, teleportation. Say, how exactly do you do this traveling?
Well, I decide where I want to travel. Then I simply raise my right arm like this.
Yes?
Until it's outstretched.
And fly up into the air.
No, the bus stops and I get on.
Look, will you get out of here and stop wasting our time, you stupid little weed?
Oh, stupid little weed, is it? Well, I'll show you. I do, in fact, have another power that I haven't mentioned. A power so incredible you won't believe it.
What?
I have the power to completely stop any comedy program at will.
I don't...
The power to completely stop any comedy program at will.
I don't...